I still love that song. I love
You don't get tired of it. It means something good. You never get tired of it.
It does. It just puts you in a good mood. Yeah. Here we are, episode 6 of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast here on WGNRadio.com. You can also find it on SoundCloud.com/WGNRadioSports. I am Mike Jacobson, executive sports producer here at WGN Radio, alongside my man Scott King. He covers the Blackhawks for the Red Eye, which is a wonderful publication. Happy pre-Thanksgiving to you, sir.
Happy pre-Thanksgiving to you. Happy Blackhawks Wednesday. Little play on Black Wednesday there.
Yeah, there you go.
You going to get crazy tonight? Are you still doing that?
I might.
Yeah?
I might.
You deserve it.
I work hard. No,
I
will actually be working the Blackhawks game tonight.
That's right.
Back in the studio here with Mr. Judd Surratt. When they take on the Sharks in the first of three that they have in California to wrap up this circus trip, as they like to call it.
You and Judd don't go out for a couple shots, a couple drinks after the show?
We're on till 12:30, so we'd be getting after it pretty late.
Bars are open late on Black Wednesday.
That is true. If I was not working, I would be enjoying a few beverages. There's no question about that. So, and who knows? Maybe the Blackhawks could enjoy some beverages after a big win tonight.
Well, they need one.
They could use one. We are halfway through the circus road trip here. They finished up the Canada portion at 1-1-1. Now they do the California portion. They're in San Jose tonight. On Friday, they will visit the Ducks. Saturday, they wrap it up with the Kings. So, my question to you, sir, before we get into everything else we're going to talk about today, Blackhawks 1-1-1 in those three, as I mentioned, what do you take from it?
Well, they grabbed 3 out of a possible 6 points. That's okay. Not good, because they usually, when they do well on a circus trip, it's because they maybe win the first 3 games. They have good starts on these trips usually, and that's what gets sometimes their seasons to turn around, is they get a good start. They win most of the games in Canada. Sometimes they win all of them. And then you have momentum going to California to play tougher teams usually. So they're probably not very happy just going 1-1-1, getting 3 out of 6. Not some very good games. Even that win against the Oilers, you have positives like Hossa scoring second game in a row when he hadn't scored in 11 games.
And that was a pretty goal in overtime.
Yeah, it's a Hossa slapper.
That was
usually
so
his
cool
shootout move.
That was so cool to watch, because for one thing, I was working that game, and then the game ended quickly. You know, yeah. When it goes to overtime, you're like,
it's
okay.
Very timely. It was cool.
Is it going to go to shootout? But did not. It was very timely.
Yeah.
And he was like a kid in a candy store talking about it after the game. And why shouldn't
he? Yeah, I heard that.
It was great. It was a great win. Then they get the overtime loss to Calgary, which, you know what, that could have gone either way. Calgary plays that very boring type of style of hockey.
Yeah, they trap you in a neutral zone. They make it hard for you to get any possession. You have to work for it. Unfortunately, they weren't winning the battles on the boards. And although they trap you that way and make it hard to play against them, they're still not a great team.
No.
You still, I don't
think, that's the one you want.
You on the road, on the circus trip, not only do you not want to go to overtime against a team like that, and I felt the same way against the Oilers, who don't even have McDavid in the lineup right now, but you don't want to lose to a team like Calgary on the road in a circus trip.
That Drysdale kid, by the way, on the Oilers, just to kind of a side note,
yeah,
he's going to be something. I mean, that guy is good.
How did he impress you? I actually don't remember. I watched the game. I don't remember him
too much.
He was
just all over the ice, everywhere.
Okay.
I mean, he was playing both sides, and it was unbelievable. I just thought he's a guy that really stood out to me. I mean, they got some young talent with the Oilers, and we talked about it before in our last podcast.
Taylor Hall, yeah, sure.
I mean, they've got the right coach there, McLennan. They're on the right path. But then on Saturday, the Blackhawks go to Vancouver, and the Sedin sisters, as I like to call them, just absolutely destroy them. I mean, Daniel Sedin, was all over the place. And, 6-3, and they crawled their way back into it. That's what stinks. You know, it ended up being 3-3,
right?
And then they just crapped the bed.
Not only did they claw their way back into it, but the Hawks are actually leading in the beginning of the game. You have Machinter drop the gloves right away, gets the team going a little bit. You have Taves score a power play goal, so that's a good start.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very good start on the road against a rival like Vancouver. But unfortunately, like you said, the Sedins had that shining twins chemistry going, where they knew where the other one was and what they were thinking. I interviewed, do you know comedian Bill Burr?
Oh, yeah.
He's hilarious. He's a huge hockey fan. So I think it was just after the Bruins beat the Canucks for the Cup, and he was loving it. He's a big Bruins fan.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he felt the same way about the Sedins, how weird they are, but how good they are. And he's like, there's just something wrong with those guys, man. He's like, I think they're wearing Speedos under their under their equipment.
Yeah, they've got those faces that you just love to hate.
Yeah.
But, you know, is that Canucks rivalry, is it still there like it was? I just feel like, a lot of those guys that they played, you know, the Blackhawks when it was really a hot rivalry, a lot of them aren't there anymore.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing during that game.
Burrows was there. I mean, I know he had the empty netter, but I didn't feel like it was the same rivalry as it was in the past.
No, that's a good point. Burrows, the guy who I believe – did he bite Keith or did he pull his hair? What was it?
It was something.
He's done it to other guys too, but fans obviously don't like him, so that's a part of the rivalry, and you have the Sedins, but you don't have Bieksa or Kessler anymore. So I agree. It's like half of what it used to be. It's a shell of its former self.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really that same thing.
Corey Crawford did not look good on Saturday either.
No.
I mean, he just had one of those games, and it's going to happen.
He did.
It's a long season, and you're in the middle of this six-game circus trip, and you know, he just didn't have a good game.
Not a good game.
Defensively, didn't help him out either.
No, you have Keith and Yarmolson -2 in that game.
Yeah, I mean, and if that happens, likely the outcome is going to be what it was, and that's a loss.
It was. I think, you know, I don't know. There are still a fair amount of young guys in the lineup, Mike, but I don't know if you can blame them all the time when things aren't going right, or you could say, hey, look, we have these veteran defensemen, guys who take a ton of shifts, play a lot of minutes, and guys like Yarmolson who take a beating. And he's had a handful of rough games lately. So, you know, I think they need a lot of guys to step up. And the defense is maybe among the top of the list.
And they can't depend on the second line continuously to just be their only offense.
No, yeah.
We were just talking before the podcast.
You had a great point.
And we had it on our we got it on our rundown here. And I actually kind of want to move ahead to that. Is Patrick Kane. This team right now is 11-8-2. Patrick Kane's on this career-high 16-game point streak.
Unbelievable.
He's been fantastic. And Anisimov looks like the guy that they wanted. That was the guy they coveted in that trade with Saad. And he's proving to be a very valuable asset in the middle there on that line. And then, of course, you got the Breadman. But where would this team be without Patrick Kane? Just imagine, you know, let's say that the accusations against him turned out for the worse. And he was charged criminally, and he's not on the ice. This team is 11-8-2 right now.
Or he's injured. Anything where they don't have him, or he's not playing this well, they're probably not even going to be anywhere near 500.
Six wins? Seven?
Probably around that. There's no way they make to 500 without him. Him and that second line have put the team on their back. 85-90% of the games?
Yeah.
They're scoring. They're the total offense almost sometimes.
I mean, Kane's your NHL leading scorer. He's got 13 goals, 19 assists through 21 games. I mean,
yeah.
And that line is just unbelievable. They're carrying him all season. They account for 29 of the team's 57 goals, that second line.
And how about plus 11 for Kane? How much did he improve on his back check, his defensive game? That's a lot more than the other guys on that line, than Panarin and Anisimov. He's elevated his game in all areas.
Yeah, and it's just nice to see that he is able to keep all those distractions out. But there was something in the paper that I read that he had a quote about his off the ice issues and troubles, and it kind of troubled me. I mean, here's the quote, just talking about everything. And I'm not taking away. I mean, he's having a fantastic season.
Yeah, this was interesting.
This is an MVP type season, but you know, when he was asked about his getaway from his off the ice troubles, he said, quote, it's almost like after school or something when you don't want to worry about your homework. You get to go out and play with your friends. That's kind of what the feeling has been for me. Just getting away from everything, playing hockey, doing something I love to do. I've been enjoying it more than ever. To kind of make that, you know, the whole after school or something, playing with your friends and the serious accusations that were made against him. I thought that was kind of, and he's been said all the right things.
Yes.
Up until this point in regards to this situation that he was in, and we'll, you know, the cloud will be around him for a while. That's a weird quote. That's not a good use of words.
Here's my thing with this. You had the Sun-Times and the Trib both do a story on that quote, and they both kind of gave an opinion to where it was insensitive. Obviously, the people that cover the Blackhawks in Chicago are fantastic. They honestly inspired me to be on the beat. They're such good reporters. But I had a little trouble. The way I like to report, Mike, is if you're doing a story on a quote or a game story, you kind of keep your opinion out of it. You write a column if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
And that quote, look what happened with how that worked out. was Kane the victim in that case? Is he making – is that comment insensitive to, you know, rape culture, the whole situation? Or is who is he hurting with that comment? Was he the victim? Perhaps.
Yeah. Well,
so is it really that bad? Is what I'm getting at.
I don't think it's awful, and it's not one of those things where it becomes a national story or anything. Just that quote, but I just wouldn't have used those particular words.
Yeah. If anything, though, I think he's playing down what he went through. That this is something that bothered him, and he just tried to put it in the back of his mind because he went through this.
True.
That's how I looked at it, because I saw both papers report on it, and I did think it was interesting.
Yeah, it was just something I wanted to point out. But I mean, again, he's just been absolutely phenomenal this year. 13 goals,
sure.
19 assists through 21 games. 16 straight games with a point, at least a point. And we were talking too before the podcast, just looking at the stats, that at one point this actually happened, that Wayne Gretzky had a 51 game point streak.
Can you imagine
games? You're
can you talking, imagine anyone ever doing that again?
It's no way. That's one of those records that'll never.
Maybe
be
if they make the net 10 feet wider on each side, can someone have that kind of a streak again?
I just that to me that's kind of like the Brett Favre Iron Man.
It's unreal, man.
That Iron Man streak that he's got going in the NFL, especially now with concussions and all these protocols and everything. That's a record that'll never be broken, whatever it was, 2000, whatever, how many games in a row that he had. But that 51-point game streak, that's insane.
Yeah, insane. I totally agree. You're not going to see that again. Very unlikely that Kane gets that done, but hey, the streak's alive.
Streak is alive. You never know. Yeah. And it can continue tonight when they take on the Sharks. So, and they got three more games on the circus trip, all in California. Tonight, San Jose. Friday in Anaheim. And then they wrap things up Saturday with a back-to-back in L.A., which is just a 45-minute drive from Anaheim. So it won't be too big of a turnaround. But I would still expect Darling to be playing either Friday or Saturday.
Yeah, they'll need him. You're not going to see Crawford take all three of those games.
No. So you would think he'll either go Friday or Saturday.
Yes.
I mean, it is a back-to-back, but it's kind of not, because they're basically playing, you know, it's 45 minutes away.
It's not far.
It's a bus ride away, but we'll see what happens. It's Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. I'm Mike Jacobson, WGN Radio. He is Scott King from The Red Eye, a wonderful publication. And speaking of publications, there was a couple of stories in the Chicago Tribune and elsewhere, kind of getting to the lighter side of things here on the Circus Road Trip, about some of the pranks and the games that the guys play. Because they're together for a long period of time here, almost a two-week span. And there was some really, really good stuff, including some pranks that Mr. Shaw likes to play on everybody.
Yeah, what was that story saying? He wants to get Taves again, but he hasn't been able to yet, right?
Yeah, him and Taves got this rivalry going where they prank each other.
It's been awesome.
And one of the ones that were Shaw, I guess, he somehow made a mechanism or something where when Taves would flush his toilet... Yeah.
He pulled something out of the top of the toilet.
Yeah,
right.
And
right.
When he would flush the toilet, it would go right back in his face, that disgusting toilet water.
Right, and I think...
As a germaphobe kind of guy, that really
disturbed me. Can you imagine? How many showers would you need where you felt like a human being again after that? That would happen to you.
17 at least that day.
At least.
Probably
I would need every shower for every point Kane has a season at least.
there was some good stuff, though, about some of those pranks.
Well, I think it might have been on that same trip where Shaw did the toilet thing last year to Taves, that I think Taves called the front desk and ordered room service to Shaw's room, and Shaw said it was about $300 worth.
Jeez, $300.
Shaw, then, he's great with those pranks. He always does them.
They were also talking, too, about some of the games that they play, like on the plane and in the hotel. And one of the things that they play is Chinese poker. And I guess Brian Bickle introduced them to this game.
Did he introduce it, or did he completely make it up? I've never heard of Chinese poker.
I've never heard of it either. And Shaw said, quote, "It's confusing. It's 13 cards, two hands of five, and a hand of three. You play against the dealer, and the dealer rotates." I guess Dano's getting in on it now, and he's having fun with it. But
it's a hot new trend.
It looks the way they describe it, it's
you're playing against the dealer.
Confusing.
Sounds like a real hodgepodge of a card game.
It's really weird. And Victor Tikhanov, he said that he doesn't really know what's going on with it. Like,
is it that or the other game where he said there's a wait list for it? He can't get in on it.
It's that one. He said there's a wait list, so he can't. But right. Those guys, speaking of Tikhanov and Panarin, those guys like to play chess.
So yeah, Russians.
Yeah, so they're playing chess. And that's – I've always respected people that could actually find chess entertaining.
Yeah.
Even as a – I tried. I really tried as a kid. And
people
even
that are good at it, they like the strategy of it. And I'm the same way. It is – to me, it's boring. I know people love it, and it's tough, but I can't. In grade school, I was in a chess club.
Dumb.
Just so I didn't have to eat my lunch in a cafeteria, I was in a chess club. And I could eat my lunch and play chess, and I was awful. I think I lost every game.
I just, you know, the king, rook, whatever, you know, like, what do you do? Like,
get me an Xbox. I don't.
Yeah, I it's just not my thing. Yeah. But, I mean, you got to do something to pass the time. I mean, you have to do something. They are also talking, too, about, you know, when they go out for dinner and who picks up the check, that everybody literally just throws their credit card
and then the server pick it, yeah.
Or, like, in a pile, I guess you would say, and the waiter or waitress just picks. I think that's pretty awesome, too.
Tikhonov lost four times. He had to pay for it four times in that article.
Yeah.
How funny is that?
Lost it four times. Yeah, I think there could be a little bit of a conspiracy theory there. I don't know.
Maybe.
And then also, too, I guess they were going to go to Las Vegas before today.
And there were no bad stories coming.
That's
good. Reported by the press out of Vegas.
That's good. They called it the rookie party.
Yeah.
So, and
who knows
the one rookie that they talked to about said he did not want to be named. So I'm sure it's good though. I mean, they had a couple of days off here. I mean, their last game was Saturday, so why not enjoy a little bit?
Yeah, relax, play some bets.
Kind of get your head away from the game a little bit.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't sound like it got too crazy, unless TMZ pulls something out of a hat here in the next couple of days. But it sounds like everything.
I think we're past that time.
I think everything went pretty good. So I thought those stories were kind of cool. You know, just
yeah.
We talked about it last week. You know, these guys. And there's a lot of young guys on the team, a lot of new members on the team, just trying to. You know, trying to fit in, and these circus road trips provide a great opportunity for them to bond.
That's exactly.
And I know
what
that sounds
corny, yeah.
And it sounds cheesy, but it's true. I mean, it's like kids. You know, like when you're starting a new class. You know, like when you go from fifth to sixth grade, and you got a new class, and you got to meet new friends. It's kind of the same thing in a weird way.
Yeah, and like we said last time, this trip is not only where you start to bond and to make chemistry, but it's also where you need it, and you're going to need it the rest of the season. You have a lot of young guys that are new. You have guys that were traded for. So every year it's and they have more young guys this year than usual. So every year this is what it does. It gets everyone a little familiar with each other, and that can translate on the ice.
What do you think Q does during that Vegas trip? You think he hangs out with the guys the whole time, or you think he's just at the craps tables?
I think he's a robe and a cigar guy. Probably turns on, like,
I don't know. I could see him spotting up at a crab stable with a martini.
Yeah, I bet he loves to gamble. Yeah, I think you're right.
Oh, he loves
he likes horses, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Midnight Hawk, his horse.
He's like a kid in a candy store in Vegas. But I don't think he's like one of those guys that's going out with all the young kids and staying out till, you know.
No, I wouldn't want to do that.
No.
Yeah.
I think him and Kitch and the rest of the staff are just gambling.
Make some money, tell old funny coaches stories, things that make coaches laugh.
Maybe a real nice glass of scotch. He looks like a scotch. He sounds like he
totally
does.
Totally does.
Yeah,
you see those Binny's commercials? I guess he's a wine guy.
Oh, yeah.
He pronounced all those wines correctly.
He did. And he does a way better job with those Binny's commercials than Joe Madden. Because I love Joe Madden, but those Binny's commercials, awful. I mean, you could tell they did it in one take.
Yes.
And he was
he was pressed for time.
You could literally see him reading it off the cards.
The guy had somewhere to be.
It was just, and he's so funny, and he's so...
I mean, he's a good quote, yeah.
He's funny. He's articulate. He's just everybody loves the guy, and he has this certain charisma. But then you see him on these commercials, you would think he would knock him out of the park, and they're terrible. Q, who doesn't want to talk to anybody, he actually does a better job.
That's fine.
I was surprised.
You can say that, Mike, as long as you don't put down Dan Aykroyd's Binny's commercials.
Yeah, that's true.
Those are pretty darn good.
They are pretty good. I wonder what they get paid for that.
I don't know.
You
probably,
think,
probably a couple handles.
I think a lot more than a couple of handles. I think that gets thrown in.
Binny's is doing very well, especially in Chicago. I'm sure they get paid a lot.
It's the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast here. I'm Mike Jacobson from WGN Radio. He is Scott King from the Red Eye Chicago. And speaking of money, had another cool story here in the circus trip. You tend to find these sort of things during the time when there's a little bit of downtime. You haven't had a game in 4 days.
And there's travel and reporters can't get a hold of people.
Yeah, exactly.
They do a little digging, yeah.
Exactly. So there was actually a new ranking by Forbes that had Blackhawks as the fourth most valuable organization in the entire NHL. And that was actually, that ranking is the same as the one that they had last year. But at the same time, their revenues have gone up significantly. They're now worth $925 million. That's an 11% increase over last year. And the Hawks worth $100 million more than they were a season ago. That's pretty crazy.
And you look at their revenue.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy.
Up $10 million.
Up $10 million total. So I mean,
T-shirts, DVDs now, hat trick DVDs. I don't think that those even counted for this. This had to be done a little bit ago.
This had to have been done. But the fourth most valuable in the and granted, you know, 3 cups in 6 years helps, but it just shows you how much this organization and how far it has come. And again, a lot of that has to go to Rocky Wirtz taking it over from the old man and bringing in John McDonough.
Yeah, everything McDonough's done. And
he's a marketing genius.
And look, they start to have success on the ice and more people come. And then they start a video production company, Banner Collective. They produce and make this movie that's at theaters. It's a great movie on DVD and Blu-ray now. So this is what they're doing. They're creating companies either within or tied to the organization to get the revenue up even more.
I just couldn't imagine. I wish they would have gone back further and, you know, maybe I could have taken a little bit more time and look, but where they were about 10, 15 years ago on that list.
Yeah.
I mean, they couldn't even have cracked the top 10, not even close.
I don't think so at all. I mean, attendance and TV the way it was,
it's the third biggest. They didn't have TV.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah. I mean, they weren't even on TV. I mean, you would go to the old gate. Now, this is more than 10 years ago, because the United Center's been around for quite a while now, if I imagine. But like even the old Chicago Stadium days, towards the end of the Chicago Stadium before they knocked it down, nobody was showing up. It'd be like 5,000 people in the stands.
That's why they call them the Dark Ages.
And now they're sold out every night.
Yeah.
I mean, there was more people going to Wolves games than Blackhawks games at one point.
Oh, yeah.
That's insane to me. The Wolves? Now, granted, it's fun to see them Wolves game because they fight
fun.
A lot.
It's fun to see an AHL game. There's a lot of fighting. There's young guys who want to get in the NHL. But to have people not turning out for a professional sports team in a major city, that was a rough time. That was really, really bad. And look where they are now. Much better.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. So the teams, by the way, that were ahead of them on that Forbes list is the most valuable franchises in the NHL. Number three, the Maple Leafs, who actually, I think they took a job.
They dipped. Yeah.
They dipped to number three. Number two, the Canadiens. Now, those two teams, that shouldn't surprise you because it's Canada.
Especially not the Canadians with their following.
Number one did surprise me a little bit. It was the Rangers, which I know and they've been good the past couple of years. And
the Garden. People like to go see some hockey at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, I thought it would have been a Canadian team number one. You know, that's what
I maybe it was a couple of years ago. Maybe Canadians were up there.
Oh, no, they were. Leafs. No, yeah, I think the Maple Leafs were number one for a while,
too. Oh, okay.
So That's
huge following,
So, yeah, number one, Rangers. Number two, Canadians. Number three, Maple Leafs. Number four, your Chicago Blackhawks. So I thought that was kind of a cool little nugget that wanted to get in there. One more nugget for you. Stadium jerseys, or Stadium Series jerseys, unveiled this week. Jonathan Toews, they tweeted that out and had all sorts of press releases about that. And looking at it, it's like a white. It's white, and it's kind of hard to describe.
It's a white thing,
It's a white sort of garment, and it's got the old school Blackhawk and logo. And I mean, you're looking at it right now. Aren't you?
Go ahead and
describe it for me.
Well, you have the Indian head, as it always is, right on the front, looking the same. It looks great. And you have this is Toews' jersey. You have a black C.
I'm Googling it right now.
It's kind of
so
a black around the shoulders. Then you have some white around the collar with the red stars for Chicago. And you have some red and black with the tomahawk on the sleeves. And I mean, whenever you get these new jerseys, you have some people love them, some people hate them. And
I think they're pretty cool, though.
I think they're cool, too. I think they kind of look like Winter Classic a little bit last year.
And then
I like those as well.
And when they, you know, it's going to be February 21st, by the way, the Stadium Series game. It's going to be at TCF Bank Stadium against the Wild.
There you go.
At least the Blackhawks jerseys look like different. I mean, you look at the Wild, what they're sporting.
Yeah, way too similar.
It looks exactly the same. Like, come on.
Also, I don't know how you get mad when it's a road jersey and they have to do something new. You know it's going to be mostly white. Do the little details and little additions make any difference?
Nah,
like, you got the Indian head there. It's a white jersey. You got some black and red. It's cool.
I do like the stars, though, around the neck. That is pretty cool, I got to say.
Yeah, it's cool. I don't know if it should have been, like, all one color with the stars. It's kind of like a little, like, looks like Jonathan Toews' bra strap is showing.
It kind of does, actually. It kind of does. And he looks so uncomfortable taking that picture, and I would be, too.
He's got a smile in there.
Yeah, but
it's all part of the gig.
It's an awkward, when you're making the money he makes, it's part of the
captain.
Gig, but I don't care who you are. That's kind of awkward. You're a hockey players usually don't like posing and taking pictures and smiling and things of those nature.
Silly videos.
Yeah, I was very disappointed with the Wild. I mean, it's the same jersey.
It's like a... like a kind of like a silly putty green almost.
Yeah, and I actually really like their regular season jerseys, so I guess they're not that much different, but
a little brighter.
You know, put a little creativity into it. Live a little bit.
They need us to come up with some really stellar looking jerseys for these things, Mike.
That's right. Next time,
contract us, please.
They need to contact us before you do a Stadium Series jersey again, Minnesota Wild. And now they probably won't even have one for a while anyway, now after this year. But so February 21st, that's going to be really cool. I mean, what is your opinion on this? Do you think that it's becoming oversaturated, you know, the Stadium Series? Because it used to be so much more special to a lot of people because they weren't having as many each year. And now they're having quite a few each year. Because it was like a one-time deal, and then it becomes 3-4 times a year. So, I mean, what do you think, it's oversaturated?
There's a lot of the outdoor games now with the Stadium Series, and you still have the Winter Classic every year too. But, I mean, you go to them in your city, they're unbelievable. You're at football stadiums, you're at baseball stadiums. It's a great kind of different dynamic of a hockey environment, mm-hmm. and it's a ton of fun. And although it might be taken away from, oh, hey, we have the one outdoor event this year, that there's a few, it's still – they're probably still getting really good ratings, and I believe they are. And they're getting a lot of attendance in all these areas. They're selling out college football stadiums for these games. So anything that helps the sport grow is fine, really, at the end of the day, I think.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's all, and I don't think people are getting Stadium Series out, I guess you could say.
No.
I don't think it's gotten to that point. I know there's some certain diehards that think that it is too much, but I think it's great. And like you said, it's a great way to promote the sport that needs, frankly, as much promotion as it can get. I mean, and the NHL has grown significantly over the past couple of years. I mean, it really has. But I can't remember if I've mentioned it before on one of our podcasts, but I would say the coolest professional event that I've ever covered was the Stadium Series in Los Angeles at Dodger Stadium for the Kings and the Ducks, because I used to be the beat reporter for the Ducks. It was so cool. I mean, I was there when they brought in the ice to Dodger Stadium, and that was an event in itself a couple days before. And the day of the event, I mean, it was just totally L.A. I mean, it was so L.A. You got out in left field, you got people playing beach volleyball, you got little kids, and they had their own little ice rink in front of the rink. To the right, you had a concert going on.
Right.
Kiss played at halftime.
I remember that.
I mean, you got Vin Scully dropping the puck. It was awesome. There was a red carpet before, which I covered, which was kind of
did you,
kind of
did you
like
walk
paparazzi.
Down it, Mike? Did you walk down
I did not
it?
Not walk down
shiny
it.
New outfit. No.
I did not walk down it, but probably one of the highlights of my career. I got to interview one on one with Alyssa Milano, and that was pretty awesome.
Did you get a selfie?
I did not, but I had somebody take an action shot of me while I was interviewing.
There
her.
You go. That's
it's actually on my Twitter at Jacobson Radio. I know I'm not a big tweeter. If that's even is that what you call
how
it?
How have I not seen that? I got to check that out. That's hilarious.
It's there. It's you'll see me in my AMA 30 black and orange for the Ducks. So
did you get some digits?
I wish. I was so
Facebook friends.
I've never, and I remember I went on afterwards on our station. I've never been so nervous in my life interviewing anybody.
Oh, an icon.
I've done a million interviews, and she's a diehard Kings fan, diehard,
yeah,
and diehard Dodgers fan. So it was intense, and she's like 40, 41 or 42. Let me tell you,
doesn't show.
Still got that fastball. She's really short. She's really short. And there was a lot of cool. I mean, like interviewed Kiss. I was in the scrum for that. But the only one-on-one I got was Alyssa Milano. Cuba Gooding Jr. was there. He was a jerk.
Was he throwing him back? Was he? Remember he was at the Hawks game. He took his shirt off.
Yeah,
I was in the press box last year.
Oh, were you?
It's insane.
He was a jerk. He just ignored everybody. I'm trying to think who else was there. Dawson from Dawson's Creek. What's that guy's name?
Oh, Vanderbeek.
Vanderbeek. He was actually a pretty good dude.
That makes me happy.
Diehard Kings fan, season ticket holder, ex Chicago guy, Pat Sajak. Yeah,
another person who's not aging.
And you know what? Everyone, and when you see him in person, he hasn't had any work done. He just looks the same.
Not that we're aware of.
And his hair looks real, too, in person. Did not a big guy.
Give it a good tug. Make sure it's on there.
He had very tight jeans on. Well, then we actually ended up going, and we ended up sharing the same elevator. He was there with his wife and son. This was after the red carpet. We just happened, and we just kind of chatted a little bit.
Did you ask him about the weather, his impressions of it?
I did not. But that was really cool. Not to get too
look
far
at
off
you
track
rubbing
here.
Elbows with all the celebrities, man.
No, it was just a really cool event. You know, I mean, how many times? I mean, do you see hockey being played outdoors when it's 65 degrees?
I like that they have
outside.
To put in the ice in California.
Ice
that's pretty cool.
And the ice was fantastic.
Yeah, a lot of people were concerned about it, but it looked fine
on TV.
It was
great.
Yeah.
And it's funny compared to like a lot of these other outdoor games where it's cold and you would think this is going to be great. That's when people complain about the ice.
Right.
So the ice was fantastic. I actually got to walk out there before the game. It was a really cool event. So I think the Stadium Series stuff is great.
Yeah, and I sat in the stands at Soldier Field with some family, and it was unbelievable. The blizzard, the Hawks scoring, well, they scored 5 goals. I think Taze had 2 of them. It was an awesome game.
Well, and yeah, when you got the snow.
Seeing hockey
down.
In a blizzard, you know, unreal. Yeah. These games are fantastic.
That's got to be so hard for a goalie too.
Oh my
to be
god!
You have no visibility.
Some of those goals, yeah.
I mean, you can't see anything.
No, you have basically snow coming up off the ice.
Hard enough as a fan, and now you're trying to stop a puck coming at your face at
covered
1 million miles per hour. Covered in snow. No
slip, sliding all around.
That'd be tough. But it is Thanksgiving Eve today. It is the 25th of. I was going to say December 25th. That would be Christmas. 25th of November, we got Thanksgiving tomorrow. And we usually do what we like to call King's Keys at this time towards the end of the show, where you give your keys to the next couple of games. But we kind of wanted to switch it up because it is the season.
It's the season.
It's the holiday season. So we were kind of thinking,
let's put together a list of what Blackhawks fans should be thankful for. And what should they be thankful for, Mr. King?
Well, look, first, I was happy to swap King's Keys with you for this fabulous idea. Very festive. I think everyone's really going to go for it.
When I actually got to, you know, I could actually explain it and get out of my mouth.
I knew what you meant.
It was good.
No, but Blackhawks fans should be thankful for, first, 3 cups. Only team in the last 6 seasons to get 3 cups. Things are a little up and down, I know, this season. You have guys that are maybe fatigued. You have younger guys learning the system and learning how to play in the NHL. But look at all the success that the fans still get to enjoy anywhere around Chicago and watching on TV.
So it's a nice overview, thanks.
Yeah, still the golden age of Blackhawks hockey.
So enjoy it.
They'll rebound. If it's not this season, they'll contend next season. They still have a great group of core guys. So enjoy that. Be thankful for that. Number 2, thing to be thankful for. How about a guy named Artemi Panarin?
Breadman.
The Breadman, Mr. Panera. 21 points, plus 2. Kane's plus minus obviously a lot better. But like I told you before the show, I talked to Jeremy Roenick this morning for a couple things I'm working on, and he loves Panarin. He said, such a great compliment to Kane on that second line. He can't believe his skill at his age.
His hands are unbelievable.
His decision-making, his hands. He expects him to win the Calder, as do I, and probably you, Mike, without McDavid in. So,
no question.
Be thankful for the Breadman.
He's definitely in there. He's in the mix for right now, and he's probably the leading contender right now, I would say.
Number 3, this guy has been flying under the radar, but now he's getting a little bit of a notice, a little bit of some mentions here. Artem Anisimov.
Double A.
You talked about him in the show. You know what he's been doing. It's the second center for the Blackhawks in between Panarin and Kane. He has been so solid. He's got 15 points, plus 4. And like we said, he has been flying under the radar, but he does everything you want a center to do. He's big. He goes to the net. He just scored scored a power play goal, I believe, one of their goals.
I believe it was Saturday, yeah.
And he's good on special teams. So they've won him for a while, and that's why he can do everything you want a good center to do, and Patrick Kane has his dependable center in Anisimov. Be thankful for him. Number 4, last thing Blackhawks fans should be thankful for, the movie Hat Trick. Look, I'm not getting paid to endorse this. I know I mentioned it a couple times already.
You have really plugged this thing.
Dude, it's awesome.
And I still haven't seen it,
It's really good. My wife and I just watched it. She loved it.
And for those of you who don't know what Hat Trick is, it is.
It's the movie that Blackhawks TV and Banner Collective put out where it takes you in the locker room after the Hawks win Game 6 at home versus Tampa. And then what it does is take you to the countries where guys are from, Finland, Sweden, Slovakia, and you get to see those guys bring the cup home to their countries, and it's so beautifully shot, and you get to see these awesome places and how excited everyone is. It really is a really well done movie, and I will say a possible stocking stuffer for everyone.
Yeah, so thinking ahead to next month.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Jump ahead here.
On Thanksgiving Eve, already thinking about Christmas. And it's not that long of a movie, right?
No, it's like just a little over an hour.
Which is perfect.
Yeah. You got plenty of time to do whatever you got to do.
Yeah, that's
throwing hat trick.
We should be getting some sort of, you know,
just throw us a couple copies.
Yeah,
we'll give them
a couple copies. Yeah. A couple trickle-down dollars.
A couple nice envelopes.
Why not? So there you go. That's what Blackhawks should be thankful for. I couldn't agree with you more. A lot of good stuff there.
Thank you, sir.
So it's that time of the podcast now, though. We're going to wrap things up with some questions. And you can submit those questions, by the way, on Twitter. You can use the hashtag BlackhawksCrazy. You can also directly send them to me or Scott. He's at Scott King Media. I am at Jacobson Radio. You can also go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy. Just one Z, Blackhawks Crazy. You can put them on there.
Got it.
So we just, you know, there's a million ways to get a hold of us. And I know we had had a bunch of questions submitted, but I think we're going to probably kind of just stick to probably three or four here because we don't have all the time in the world. You know, we only got the studio for so long.
We picked four. We got some on Twitter. You could use the hashtag Blackhawks Crazy. Ask us questions for every episode. And you can go to the Blackhawks Crazy Facebook page Mike just mentioned and ask us questions. We will get to them if we can. First one from GenZ75 on Twitter. Thoughts on Daly. Does he stick all year or end up traded? There has been talk about him getting traded recently.
I know Ottawa was perhaps interested. But those kind of it's kind of died down a little bit.
Yeah, this happens with rumors. But it doesn't mean that guys aren't still kicking the tires, GMs.
Stan Bowman's kicking the tires.
Yeah, he is. He's got Bickle and Rockford. You don't know what's going to happen with him. Maybe he becomes part of a trade.
I think he comes back up at some point.
I think he will.
I really think he's
been playing so well that you just want to see some effort somewhere from him.
I was talking to Judd Surratt about this, and where he probably fits the best is that first line.
Yeah.
Really?
Just like he did in 2013 in the playoffs.
And we didn't even mention Hossa was on the third line.
He's back down there. Yeah, like he was last year. I don't know. It just doesn't seem right.
It doesn't. So who knows? But in terms of Daly, I really do. I think he's gonna be shipped out of town. He just doesn't fit. He's not a good fit here. He's an offensive defenseman. And to be honest with you, he doesn't get anything on net.
No.
He hasn't gotten
not a lot of quality shots yet. He's not moving the puck around so much.
He's not a good defender in general. So he just hasn't. It hasn't been that good of a fit.
Yeah. I know there was interest, and he probably will go.
We got another one here from, what is that, LeChat Savant?
I don't know what that means. LeChat Hopefully it's Savant. Nothing dirty, but yes.
I hope not. Kind of feels dirty just saying it, to be honest with you. Prediction on how long Kane's point streak will last. We're at 16 games right now.
Yes.
It's his career best.
San Jose tonight.
We got the California part of the circus trip. I think he goes to 18.
That's a good guess.
I think it ends on Saturday. So I think he'll get one tonight, make it 17. He'll get one on Friday in Anaheim, and then against the Kings, it comes to an end. That's just my prediction. I'm not Nostradamus here. I'm Mike Jacobson.
I'm going to go a little higher.
Just a man.
I'll go a little higher. If this was Price is Right, I would probably lose. But I'm going to say 24. I think he's going to keep rolling. I think that line is, like we said, it's their entire offense, basically. And they're used
really
to moving
is.
The puck around and finding each other. So I think 24. It's my number.
All right, another one here from Pat Boyle. He said, are they pursuing a trade for Runblad or Daly? We kind of talked about that. Yeah, we didn't talk about Runblad. Now, who knows? I mean, Runblad could maybe be in the mix too.
Yeah, you haven't seen him in a while,
not
right?
Really.
So,
I mean, and that's never a good sign.
You never know what kind of defenseman or players another team needs. So there could be phone calls about him. It just hasn't been reported yet.
No, it hasn't. But I think Daly is definitely a guy to keep your eye out that could be shipped out of town. He's just not a good fit. And then Robert Pacenti, is that how you say?
I think so.
Why can't they fix their power play? Why are the Blackhawks expending energy, reacting to other teams' irritating behaviors? Why are they struggling on defense? Now that's a lot.
It's a lot, and it also sounds just like a phone call Judd Surratt might get on a post game show.
Yeah, it really does.
There's some good questions in there. I don't know. They get a little fancy on a power play. It's been that way for years. Such skilled guys, everyone.
It's too cute sometimes.
Passing around too much.
I know that sounds like a simple answer.
No, they don't put enough pucks on net. It is simple, and for some reason, they can't do it a lot of the time.
That's the problem. They got it. Put pucks on net.
This second part of that is interesting. Expending energy, reacting to other teams, initiating behaviors. Maybe he's talking about the scrums and Taves fighting.
Yeah,
I like seeing Taves fight, though,
your
man.
Your penalty minutes leader. I think he still is. I know he was.
That's funny.
Fights leader. Like, that's just very strange. I can't imagine the Q, Bowman, and the
He doesn't endorse it, no. None of those guys like seeing it, but the players do. You talk to the players. They like seeing guys stick up for each other. As long as, like this guy says, you don't waste too much energy, I don't think they are. I think they're just, they're playing a little grittier maybe than they usually do. They are defending Stanley Cup champs, and they want to stick up for each other. And a lot of times, it'll get your team going. So it's okay, as long as it's not too much.
And their struggles on defense.
We talked about Daly. Maybe you'll get someone for him. Like I said earlier, I think these guys they've played a lot of hockey. Hjalmarsson, Keith just coming back from an injury. Seabrook, they've played a lot of hockey. I think they're a little beat up. I think they're a little tired.
A lot of people, too. You know, it's 11-8, and we're 21 games in. They're 11-8-2. And a lot of people still think that they're still, yeah, recovering from the Stanley Cup run. I mean, they played into mid-June. And some people, I kind of find that hard. I don't really buy that. I could buy that for the maybe first five games. I mean, 21 games in, you got to be in your groove by this point. So I don't find that as
you should be, but the guys, the thing for me is that guys like Yarmolson, Seabrook is off sometimes, but he makes up for it with these great shots he has. You know, Keith is usually playing awesome. For me, Yarmolson has been a lot of times under the radar because he's playing so well. And you see him block so many shots. But lately, handful of games, like I said, he's just not covering his guys, a little out of position.
He's minus two on Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. So guys like that usually look so good, him not playing so well is kind of – maybe that's why I feel that way, that maybe he's tired and some of the other guys are too. Because you hear people say that when people just win one Stanley Cup, not – three in the last six, that they, you know, Stanley Cup hangover, they might be a little tired. So could it be possible? I think so. I don't know if it's the case here, but I think it's possible.
All right, thanks again for submitting those questions. We can do this each and every week. We try to usually record around Tuesday, Wednesday, so you can definitely keep doing it. Blackhawks Crazy, use that hashtag, Blackhawks Crazy on Twitter. You can send them directly to Scott. He's at Scott King Media.
You got it.
Correct. And I am at Jacobson Radio. You can also go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy. So, Thanksgiving tomorrow. You got big plans or what?
Families. Splitting the families. That's what you do when you're married. We have a nice lunch at my grandma's with my family there. Then we go to my wife Nora's parents. Have a great dinner there.
There you go.
Taking a baby. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is your new father. First Thanksgiving.
Yes, sir.
For your little one. That'll be a lot of fun.
She finally saw snow last week for the first time. It was insane. It was awesome.
Oh, I bet.
She made a snow angel against her will.
So now she's only, what, 3 months old?
Just over 3 months.
Just 3 months old. Yeah. Wow. So she's going to get a lot of car riding experience here.
Oh, yeah. Dropped her off today.
There you go. Yeah. A lot of babies like the car ride.
They usually go to sleep.
Yeah.
Or,
I hear that's a good way if you can't get them to go to sleep.
As long as they're not crying, yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Right.
That's going to be a long day for the little one, though.
If they're sitting still like the Omen, that's still yeah. It's still good as long as they're not bawling their eyes out is how I like it.
You might have yourself a long day tomorrow, but it'll be a lot of
fun.
We'll
see. It'll be great.
It's a great first experience.
What are you doing?
Take a lot of Kodak moments.
What's the Jacobson family doing?
I'll be up north. My parents live up north, so it's about an hour and a half drive from here, so that's my plan. I'm heading there. I actually am becoming an uncle any day now. My sister-in-law and my brother are having their first child.
That will be awesome.
It'll be my first experience as an uncle, and the due date was yesterday. So
any second.
It literally could be any second, and I'm kind of hoping it gets held off and doesn't happen tomorrow.
Right.
I would prefer that.
It would be a very interesting holiday if it was to
happen. It would. I'm going to be there with my dad and my mom, and me and my dad, and we like to enjoy our beverages. So
yeah,
if
some
we
turkey,
had to,
you know, some you stuffing. Know,
I'd really just like to sit and watch the Bears game and all the other games, but we'll see what happens. But it should be fun. It's my favorite holiday of the year. So it's up there, man.
It's a good one.
Because I love football, I love eating, and I love having an occasional cocktail. So, and basically all those things come together.
Catered just for you.
On that one day. And then on Black Friday, I help the parents start decorating for Christmas.
Get our first set of ornaments up on our house.
Getting everything out of the attic, which is always quite an experience.
Yeah, man.
So it should be fun, though.
It's the season.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there. Thanks for listening. As always, Episode 7 coming at you next week. The circus trip wraps up this weekend at the Kings on Saturday. And then we'll finally get some games back home at the United Center. For Scott King, I am Mike Jacobson. Have a great holiday.